بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
محمد.
The brothers and sisters seem tired and hungry, judging by the salawat. Recite another salawat. ذرني والمكذبين أولي النعمة ومهلهم قليلا إن لدينا أنكالا وجحيما وطعاما ذا غصة وعذابا أليما. We're talking about how those who are usually the more well-off ones, the ones that are more wealthy in different societies, they're the ones who will go against the prophets usually, and that's what the Quran reflects. In the stories that are mentioned in the Quran, usually it's the wealthy ones who would go against the prophets first, and it's very clear why. Because they will have to give up their wealth, their fame, whatever they have, usually, not completely, but they want everything for themselves. They want the people to be at their disposal to serve them. That's why these were the first who would go against the prophets of Allah. On the other hand, you have the weak ones that I spoke about. But just because you're weak doesn't mean that you're going to be off the hook. There are different categories of the weaker ones who were not on the right path. There's different categories of them. Some will be off the hook, some will still not be off the hook. And as I said, the Quran says, خَسِرَتْ دُنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. These people will be that they've missed out on the dunya because they don't have anything here, they're weak. And they miss out on the akhirah. That's the worst state to leave this world in, that you've lost this world and you've lost the next. Who are they? One category we spoke about were those who, although they're weak, although they're subjugated by the more wealthy, by the more powerful, they don't even go through the trouble of at least embracing the truth with their hearts, at least. Just because they're not in charge, just because they're not the big shots, they will let those great people that are above them call the shots for them. Tell them what they have to believe and how they have to be. These people on the Day of Judgment, I recited the verses yesterday, I won't go over them anymore. These people on the Day of Judgment will have to pay. Yes, they were weak. But then on the Day of Judgment, the strong ones will say, we didn't force you. Shaitan will say, I didn't force you. It was your own choice. At least you could have embraced it in your hearts. So we have to be careful, being out here in the West, for example, this is just an example that I'm giving, to not let things take over. And then before we know it, it's time to leave this world, and then we see that we were going by other people's rules necessarily. What do I mean by going by other people's rules? I was just a Muslim in identity. That's all I was. Yes, I was wearing a scarf. Yes, I had a beard. Everything else about me was according to the culture that I was living in, the Western culture that I was living in. Don't get me wrong, being American is perfectly fine. Living in a Western culture, nothing wrong with that necessarily per se. But living in a Western culture and then taking the color of that culture in a way that now I'm going against Allah's laws, I don't observe Allah's laws, that's going to be a problem. Just because I can't do anything about my surroundings doesn't mean that I will have to adapt, I will have to take on that color. Not necessarily. Especially this part of the world where everyone's free to do as they wish. It's interesting how they're getting across to us, putting this in our minds that covering up is a bad thing, but when it comes to people going outside not covered up, it's perfectly fine. Well, just the same way that person, it's okay for them to not be covered up, I want to be covered up. And I'm going to be proud about it. You can't tell me that. The freedom, quote-unquote, that they are talking about in America, for example, gives us that right, at least. The whole story of the homosexuals here now. We're not even going to talk about whether that's right or wrong. But just the fact that this is something that everyone was against before, now all of a sudden, they were able to get their rights some places. Just that should show that at least if I want to be covered up, I don't want to be exactly like you, that's perfectly fine. We don't want to give in to the peer pressure that's out there. So that's one category. Some are weak, but in their hearts, at least they embraced it. And that's the story of Amar bin Yasir that I gave you before. The verse, I recited it before, a few days back. Surah Nahl 106. Whoever renounces faith in Allah after affirming his faith, except those who are compelled, those who are forced. So it's saying those who become kafir, they don't believe in Allah, they're disbelievers, they're going to have punishment. Except those people who say it on the outside, but they have no choice. They're forced to say it. But in their hearts, they have the iman. These people are good to go, the verse is saying. So we are the weak one. Okay, I'm not saying this right now, us. I'm just giving you an example. If there's a weak person, he has no choice but to hide his iman and practice taqiyyah, then this person at least is better than that previous category. But can we now sit here and say, brothers and sisters, can we say this? Are we allowed to say, alhamdulillah, so we're good, we're set. As long as I embrace the faith in my heart, that's good enough. On the outside, I have no choice. Is that really the case right now in the West that we're living in, especially in a country like this where everyone's talking about freedom? No. You can't just say, I'm going to keep it in my heart, but on the outside, I'm going to go by what they say, how they want me to be. We're not allowed to, because we're not forced in that sense. Yes, there's some peer pressure. So we're not going to fall under that first category, inshallah, for sure, the weak ones who didn't even have it in their hearts. But this second category even doesn't apply to you and I. It doesn't. Because we're not compelled. We're not forced to be the way they are, necessarily. So we have to be careful that we don't fall under the third category. The first two didn't apply to us. The third category is another group. When Ammar bin Yasir and the rest of the Muslims, they were under pressure, torment, torture to leave their faiths. Yes, Allah said, it's okay, you're forced to, fine. But a time came, brothers and sisters, where Allah said, it's time to migrate now. It's time to migrate. That's why this verse that I just recited, Nahl 106, it doesn't apply. The time for it kind of is over, and I'll explain. Where you have to keep it within you, and on the outside you can be whatever you want to be. No, the time for that is over. This was for a certain time during the Prophet's time. Yes, if you're ever put in a situation in order to save your life, you will have to be like that, where your outside does not read with your inside. But in normal circumstances, the time for this second category is over. We're going to move to the third category. The Muslims were told that they have to migrate. That's why you had, for example, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. He took a group with him to Ethiopia. They migrated. They had to migrate. The Prophet migrated to Medina, along with many people, the Muslims, the Muhajireen, those who migrated with the Prophet. As you all know, the Sahaba are of two types. One are the Muhajireen, and another group are the Ansar. Those who were in Medina are called the Ansar. They're the ones who helped the Prophet. They helped those migrating from Mecca to Medina. They helped them. They're the Ansar. The Muhajireen of the Sahaba are the ones who migrated with the Prophet. They were not from Medina. They were from Mecca. They had no choice but to migrate. They migrated and were taken care of by those people who were residing in Medina. Two groups here. Some went to Medina, some went to Ethiopia. They had to migrate. So a time came that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, listen, you're not able to practice your deen anymore, one. Two, you're able to migrate. You're strong enough to migrate. So, migrate. Verse. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَ ظَالِمِ أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We were weak in the land. قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Translation. This is verse 97 of Surah Nisa. Indeed, those whom the angels take away while they are wrongdoing themselves, while they are wronging themselves, they ask, these angels ask, you know, what was up? You messed up. So what was up? Why'd you mess up? What state were you in? فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ. They reply, these people, these dhalimeen of anfusihim, they were oppressing themselves. We were abased in the land. We were weak. The angels here might smile and be like, that's not going to work. You were told to migrate. They will say, the angels will say, was not Allah's earth vast enough so that you might migrate in it? The refuge of such shall be hell, and it is an evil destination. The verse is saying that if you can't practice your religion, you have to migrate. Am I saying that it's time to migrate now from this land? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that Allah says that the deen is so important to me because that's the only way you're going to reach those high levels that I want you to. Even if it means compromising where you live and migrating, I want you to migrate. The time for taqiyya in that sense was over. The Muslims were ordered to migrate. What does that tell us? That tells us that if you want to stay in a land, but if you're going to stay in that land, you have no choice but to take on the color of those people that are not Muslim. Take on their culture, their way of life, in a way that it compromises the red lines of Islam. Allah says those 70 or 80 years are not worth the 800,000 years. The infinity years that you have coming. For me, it's more important. For us, all we see is here, we're saying, you know what? So many people want to make it to the land of the free and the home of the brave. So many people want to make it here. I'm here. Why should I even think about leaving? Once again, I'm not saying we have to leave. These are just examples that I'm giving. I'm trying to explain it to us. All these people are trying to make it here. And then now, because I'm not able to practice the way I'm supposed to practice, I have to leave. That means I'm giving up this land, the opportunities that we have here. Yes, Allah says it's not worth the 800,000 years instead of 80 years. Right now I'm visiting, brothers and sisters. I'm visiting. A few days from now I'll be leaving. I'm not going to spend so much time on the room that I have right now that I'm staying in. I'm not going to spend too much time decorating that room, and because I know 5 days from now I'm going back home. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing this. I know it sounds cliche. We got to think about it a little bit. We have eternity before us. How much do I respect myself? To the extent that if it means giving up this land, then we have lots of good stuff going on in this land. Of course, other people are paying the price in other parts of the world. But anyway, if it means that I'm going to have to give it up, I have no choice, it's still worth it because the infinity and eternity that I have waiting for me will be secured, if that's the only way to secure it. And that's why you have this concept of at-ta'arruf ba'da al-hijra. That in the fiqhi books they have this, that if you travel from a Muslim land where you're able to practice your religion, if you travel to a non-Muslim land where you're not able to practice your religion, you're not able to pray properly, you're not able to observe the hijab properly, whatever it is, you're falling into haram a lot because of, you know, how the people are dressed outside and so on, it's wajib to go back to that Muslim land that you were living in. Very simple, that's what they say. I'm just relating the ruling to you. And the ahadith that are out there for ta'arrub ba'd al-hijra, how serious this concept is, how dangerous it is. It blows your mind. But you're saying, you know what? But I've made it here. I'm here. My parents, they came here. My grandparents came here. I ended up here because of them coming. This is a blessing itself. I'm not saying leave, brothers and sisters. I'm saying if that's the ruling, then I better do my best so that every second of me being here is not considered haram anymore because of ta'arrub ba'd al-hijra. The price I'm going to have to pay to be able to stay here is a price of taqwa. Think of it like that, brothers and sisters. Think of it like that. Then you're not here for free. You're here. If you're going to be here, there's a price you have to pay. That means you're going to have to go by Allah's law here even. And that's why that American Islam that some people say is so important. American Islam, I'm American, you're cool, that's cool, nothing wrong with that. I'm Muslim, there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with American Islam? What do they mean by it? It means to be Muslim, be American, But that's it. No practice. There's a lot of details that I can give examples of. I don't want to. I'm going to skip those. But what I mean by that, lots of haram stuff happening because I'm an American Muslim. If I was back home, this wouldn't have happened. Well, you gotta fix that. I usually don't get very serious up here, but this is very serious. This is the price we have to pay. Inshallah. Alright, let's move on. A person now is under the torture and torment of the mushrikeen. He can't practice his deen. He decides that he's going to leave. Okay, very good. You said you can't practice it. Who's forcing us here to not pray, not fast, not go by hijab? I mean, I don't get how hard it can be here. But let's say there's a land that these people that you have weak people in there. They can't practice their deen. The verse says you have to migrate if you can. Yes, some people don't even have their means to migrate. That's another story. They can't. They're that weak that they cannot even migrate. They can't leave that land. But there are some who can, and they actually make that decision after the Prophet migrated. Allah says this migration is so sacred that I'm going to call it migration to me. Look at this. Surah Nisa, verse 100. Whoever migrates in the way of Allah will find many havens and plenitude in the earth. And whoever leaves his home migrating toward Allah. You see how it calls it migration towards Allah? Because you're doing this for the deen. Because Allah says so. And then is overtaken by death, his reward shall certainly fall on Allah. It'll be ala Allah. That's how it'll be. Not many times in the Quran do you see this, that Allah says, it'll be on me. It's on me. Put it on my tab. Very seldom do you see. But this is a big decision. So either we have to migrate or we have to fix things up, inshallah. If someone does such a thing in a land that they're not allowed to practice, then it's called migrating towards Allah. Another example, Surah An-Ankabut, verse 26. It says, the Prophet Ibrahim said, when Prophet Ibrahim had to make that migration from Babylon to Sham, to Damascus, he says, indeed, apparently he's telling Prophet Lut this. So Prophet Lut was a contemporary of Prophet Ibrahim. Prophet Lut is there, and Prophet Ibrahim apparently is telling Prophet Lut that, Inni muhajirun ila Rabbi. I'm migrating towards my Lord. He has to migrate from there to Sham, but he doesn't say I'm migrating to Sham. He says I'm migrating towards my Lord. How cool is that? And the Quran is quoting him, showing that this is true. Yes, that was the case. He was migrating towards us. Because obedience of us lied in migrating, he migrated. That's why I'm going to say he's migrating towards us. It's just so nice when Allah says, you're mine. For example, we have another verse in the Quran, وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. Allah says, O Musa, alayhi salam, O Musa, I shaped and formed you for myself, to my taste, the way I like. How cool is that? To be associated directly with Allah, that Allah says, you're mine, I want you. Yes, I'm not Prophet Musa, but I can do something that Prophet Musa did. I can do what Prophet Ibrahim did, and that's exactly what they want from us. It's not hard. It's not hard. We don't have to migrate from here. We just got to fix it up. I think I said that about 11 times now. So who are the real weak ones that are off the hook, judging from all that was said yesterday, today? Those people, the Quran actually explains it, that they have no way out. When the Prophet migrated, it's not like all the Muslims migrated with him. Some had to stay behind. They were still weak. They might have still been practicing taqiyya, but they did not have the means to travel, to migrate. That's one exception. Another exception that they explain of weak ones being off the hook are those who the truth didn't reach. So we have this tendency to make sure that all non-Muslims are going to hell. We always have this tendency, right? I mean, it's like as if we're jealous. How can this person drink and like do all these things in this life, but still be off the hook. You know, we're kind of jealous. No, we want to make sure he goes to hell. It depends on how much the truth reached you, brothers and sisters. If the truth reaches somebody, then they're responsible. If it doesn't reach them, then yes, they'll be excused. The truth, has it reached us or not? We believe that the truth has reached us. We're Muslim. If the truth has reached us, we don't have an excuse. Yes, they might have an excuse. Since the truth has reached us, we're not mustad'af anymore. We're not the weak ones anymore in that sense. So we better be very careful. Now someone will say, that's not fair, because that person who the truth didn't reach had a lot of fun in this life and is going to get everything on that side. But the person who the truth reached is not going to have fun on this side, but will have fun on that side. So two funs for him, one fun for me. That's not fair. The answer to that is, who says that the fun on that side that that person will have is going to be the same as the fun of the person who actually worked out on this side and then is having fun on the other side? We have to see, we'll have to look into that. لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. At the end of the day, they might be excused. They might be in heaven, some parts of heaven, we don't know. But for sure, those people who worked hard will have higher levels of Jannah. So let's not say it like that, because some people sometimes say it like that. Some people even say, why tell others? Fine, we know what the truth is, we'll traverse the path of truth. But why tell others and make it hard on them? Well, the same reason why in this dunya, a person who is not in shape, you tell them, listen, there's such thing called working out. There's such thing called exercise. So they can achieve a good physique. That same reason, because you want better for them, you want more for them. If this person continues this way of eating, they will end up having a heart attack. I don't want a heart attack for this person. That's why I'm going to try my best to help them. So this person doesn't know what the truth is. No, keep the truth away from him. He's excused. It's not about not going to hell. It's about making it to higher levels of Jannah. I get tired of repeating things sometimes. Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, he says it's not hard not to go to hell. It's not hard not to go to hell. We think that's the objective, to make sure we don't go to hell, because there's this bloodthirsty person by the name of God who wants to make sure everyone goes to hell. It's not like that. Would your mom and dad send you to hell? No, of course not. Allah created the love of the mother and the father. Of course He doesn't want us to go. He will do everything He can so we don't go. But it's more that we want. It's more that we want. So these are the real mustad'afin, the weak ones who will be off the hook. So this verse that is talking about ذَرْنِي وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ أُولِ النَّعْمَةِ, leave me with those wealthy, well-off ones who had no excuse, who were not the weak ones. Doesn't necessarily mean that, okay, so anyone who's not أُولِ النَّعْمَةِ, anyone who is not weak is off the hook. No, even the weak ones will be held responsible. It's like a person who's very, very scrawny, no muscle at all. Well, the body is the body. Even scrawny, weak people, if they go to the gym, they can grow. They have muscle fibers. Little, tiny, scrawny muscle fibers, if they're exercised enough, it'll grow. So are they off the hook? No. Yes, if a person has a disease, if there's a special problem that they're not supposed to exercise, then they're off the hook. If there's a weak person who has a good excuse, he can't migrate, the truth hasn't reached them or whatever, yes, they're off the hook. Because for Allah, everything is the Akhirah. He wants to make sure everyone moves. So if you don't have a good excuse, we will not be off the hook. The end of this verse says, وَمَهِلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا ذَرْنِي وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ أُولِ النَّعْمَةِ وَمَهِلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. Give them a little bit of a chance. Give them a little bit of time. مَهِلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. مَهِلْ comes from مُهْلَة. مُهْلَة means opportunity, chance. So give them a little chance. قَلِيل. Why does it say this? What is it pointing to? A little bit of a chance is the few years that we have here, brothers and sisters, that is gold. Some people I see, they go like, if the speed limit is like 70 miles an hour, the guy's going 150 miles an hour. They'll go, these are just examples, I won't do it, I'm not saying don't. They'll go skydiving and stuff like that. All right, fine, that's good. I mean, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with it. But I'm just saying, our lives are so important, because that's the money we have for Jannah, that you will never, if a person understands the Akhirah, how important it is, how much is going on in the Akhirah, they'll even be greedy for their life. You won't go 2 or 3 times the speed limit when there's a chance that you might get into an accident and lose your life. They won't do that. It's a little bit of time, but it's worth a lot. مَهِلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. I hope no one takes these examples the wrong way. Skydiving is perfectly fine. Going fast, if it's not against the law, is perfectly fine. All of that is perfectly fine. Just examples I'm giving. Just examples. All right. مَهِلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. Who says that it's a little bit of time before يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ comes? If it was a little, if it was really was a little bit of time, people would get off their backs. So it shows that they feel it's a long time. Yes, because we're living the moment, and living the moment is what it's all about from a material perspective, from a materialistic perspective. I have a problem with some of these, what are they called, slogans, or like, for example, just do it. Just do it means live the moment. No, you're not supposed to live the moment. Think about it first. Think if it's going to spoil your akhirah or not, then do it. If it doesn't spoil your akhirah, actually. Sometimes you see that some of these things are directed in a certain way. Any shirts that say that? No, no one's wearing that shirt. Or other things like that. For example, I can't think of them, but they're all over the place. Where you see that this has been said from a materialistic perspective, that everything is this life. مَهِلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. It's a little bit. Although you feel it's a lot because you're living the moment. I'm going to read like 4 or 5 verses for you about how this is not the case. One, Surah Ma'arij, verse 7. إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. They see it far. The day that the day of judgment is far. We see it to be close. Why? Is there two realities here? No, there's not two realities. When the dad is telling his son, son, you got to study hard, you got to go to university. Although some people say if you drop out of college, that's the way to make money. And there's opportunities. But anyway, when he says, go to college, go to university, get good grades, the dad is seeing that it passes quick. The dad is seeing that before you know it, son, you're going to be grown up. The son doesn't see it like that. Or the daughter. They don't see it like that. Here Allah is saying, they see it far, we see it very close. يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. Surah Al-Imran, verse 197. مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمٌ. مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ. A very short enjoyment. Yes, it is enjoyment at the end of the day. Some people make it look like, no, we don't take pleasure and enjoyment because this is the dunya. Dude, it is dunya and it is good. It's enjoyment, it's pleasure. We have a problem with the littleness of it. That's the problem. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in Nahj al-Balagha, he says, the problem I have with dunya, indirectly he says this, isn't that the dunya, I have problems with pleasure and so on. I don't have a problem with pleasure. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, I have a problem with it ending. That's the problem with dunya. Or else, brothers and sisters, to be honest with you, if this dunya, this limited dunya that we get sick in, that we don't get everything we want in, there's pain in it. If we were going to live here forever, I wouldn't be sitting here, and I don't think any of you guys would be sitting here. We'd be somewhere else. The problem isn't the pleasure. The problem is that it's going to end. That's the problem I have. I feel sorry for those celebrities that are so happy that they have so much wealth. It's not going to stay. Why do you think that now you got everything? Seriously, an atheist, a person who doesn't live with that Quranic perspective that there's an akhirah, I don't even know why a person would want to live this life. If you know it's going to end, just end it sooner. Rather than go through all that trouble of life, of getting married, having kids, raising kids. There's no point in it. Hardly any point. The mothers are shaking their heads back there. They know what's going on. There is good stuff that happens in this life, but I mean, if you know it's going to end, that is so depressing. And it's interesting how they've made it look like, no, it's still worth it. It still makes sense, a life that will end eventually. So you'll talk to somebody, he's got like a shoe collection, like 2,500 pairs of shoes he has. When are you going to wear it? I'm not going to wear it all. Then why do you have it? It brings a smile to my face. Just today I saw that. And then he will give you irfan. He'll say, in the end, when he wants to draw conclusions, he'll say, do whatever brings a smile to your face. That's right, brothers and sisters. I'm not saying be depressed. I'm not saying frown. I'm not saying any of that. Please get the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is, just because it brings a smile to my face won't fix the problem. It's going to end. It doesn't fix that problem. Akhirah plays such an important role in our lives. It's part of our life. Yes, there will be a death between it, but it's part of our life. I'm going on and on here. يَوْمَ يَدْعُوكُمْ فَتَسْتَجِيبُونَ بِحَمْدِهِ وَتَظُنُّونَ إِلَّا بِثْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Surah Isra, verse 52. The day he calls you, you will respond to him. It's so beautiful. Allah is calling, we are responding. Praising him. We will respond to him praising him. And you will think you only remained a little in that life. It'll be over. The day the trumpet will be blown, on that day we shall muster the guilty with blind eyes. We'll resurrect them, we'll bring them with blind eyes. They will whisper to one another, you have only stayed for 10 days. That place we lived in, that was the dunya, that was only like 10 days. Just 10 days. See, all of these are pointing to how little it is. The day the trumpet will be, he will say, you only remained a little, only if you had known what's going on. Once you get closer to Allah, once you get closer to the truth, brothers and sisters, through obedience of Allah, slowly you'll understand, we will understand how much this dunya is really worth. Yes, it's full of pleasure. The problem is that it's going to end. But the truth of the matter is, those who were given knowledge and faith will say, certainly you remained in Allah's book until the day of resurrection. This is the day of resurrection, but you didn't. But you did not know. If our eyes open up, we will understand that. Mahilhum qalila. Give them a little bit of a chance, because on the day of judgment they won't have an excuse anymore. But if we take their life now, on the day of judgment they say, oh Allah, you took our life. You didn't give us the chance. Allah says, give them a chance, but it's a little chance. They think it's a lot. It's not a lot. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Alright, so, ذَرْنِي وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ أُولِي النَّعْمَةِ وَمَهِلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. Leave them to me. I got business to do with them. Give them a little bit of a chance, though. Why? Why leave them to you, O Allah? إِنَّ لَدَيْنَا أَنْكَالًا وَجَحِيمًا وَطَعَامًا ذَا غُصَّةً وَعَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. Why? Because we, indeed with us are heavy chains and a fierce fire and a food that chokes. Apparently there, we still have to eat. But the food that they eat will choke them. And a painful punishment. That's why. Leave them to me, because I have the means of getting them back. Allah is not after punishing us, brothers and sisters. Allah isn't after getting revenge because we didn't listen to him. That's not what he's after. There, you're just getting what you sent for yourself. That's why I always say, it depends on how much we respect ourselves. What are we sending for that, on the other side? يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ وَكَانَتِ الْجِبَالُ كَثِيبًا مَهِيلًا. The day when the earth and the mountains will quake, And the mountains will be like heaps of sand that have been turned upside down, inside out. It's all messy and messed up and destroyed. The mountains, they're destroyed. Now mountain here symbolizes, and even today, the most strongest, steadfast, firmest things we have on the planet are mountains, you might be able to say. It says these things will all be destroyed. So that's scary for us. That day is a scary day. And we've been raised thinking that there is no way out of this. The terror of that day, the hardship of that day, which other verses of the Quran talk about, that the pregnant woman, when she sees that day, she will have a miscarriage. People are running around. The young get old, that we'll talk about. We think that there's no way out of it. That's how we've been raised thinking, right? This is something that we all will have to experience. Or is it? No, it's not. I'm going to reveal a secret. Maybe I'm not supposed to reveal this secret, but I'm going to reveal it. There's a way out. You all know what I'm going to say in the end, but let's step by step move in that direction. There will be some who will not be affected by any of this stuff that happens. They're way up there. They're watching down, seeing all of this happen. It won't affect them. Inshallah, we're of those people. Why do you say that? We thought this was going to encompass everybody, all of that hardship. The mountains are being destroyed. People are running around. Surah An-Naml, verse 87 to 89. The day when the trumpet will be blown, whoever is in the heavens will be terrified, and whoever is on earth, all will be terrified. So now you think you got me here, right? Look, it's saying everyone, right? Except whomever Allah may wish. Allah wishes it for some that they are not affected by this. Terror belongs to the ones in the heavens and the earth. But Allah wishes that for some this won't happen. Except those whom Allah wishes. So we recite this verse, we just go on. It's making an exception. This verse is making an exception. Who are those exceptions? Let's go on and see. Let's see if it explains it more. Except whomever Allah may wish, and all will come to him in utter humility. Okay, so it hasn't explained yet. Who is the exception? The verse goes on. And you see the mountains on that day, which you suppose to be stationary, while they drift like passing clouds. The handiwork of Allah, who has made everything faultless, He is indeed well aware of what you do. So the mountains are moving. The other verse that I recited the other day, وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالِ فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا. The mountains are moving. And they were a mirage all this time. We thought they were there. They're moving. And I said then that we don't know what exactly this means. This is something to experience. We can't talk about it that much. All right. Please explain the exception. That's what we're interested in. Here it says, whoever brings al-hasana. Man ja'a bil-hasana. Whoever brings hasana. What does hasana mean? Good. Okay, we'll have to see what that means exactly. Whoever brings hasana shall receive a reward better than it. And they shall be secure from terror on that day. So verse 87 said, there are some that Allah wishes that the terror of that day will not affect. Verse 89 says, they will be the ones who are protected from the terror of that day. Man ja'a bil hasana. Alright, so even Saddam Hussein had good in him, maybe a little, I don't know, but I can't even say he was very good looking even. Like, what? Let's think of a good in him. Alright, he's done one good thing in his life maybe. It's saying man ja'a bil hasana, whoever has one good, they're off the hook. No terror on that day. Of course that's not what it means. Here we don't even to prove this wrong through other verses or other hadith. It's funny even to say that anyone who's done one good thing in his life or her life is going to be immune from the terror of that day. That means no one's going to experience the terror of that day. Allah was just joking with us. No. علم الطبطبا here, he says, you know what, look, you guys aren't going to do the work. Sheikh Amin, you're not going to do the work. I got to put my sleeves up. I'll do the work. He does lots of work here. I'm not going to explain it. This is a course that has to be covered. But the end result is that those who have wilayatullah are the ones who will be immune from terror of that day. What does it mean to have wilayatullah? Wilaya means authority, right? So does it mean that I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to obey? That's not real wilaya. That's not real love. That's not real looking up to somebody. When you look up to somebody, when you take them as the authority, that means that you listen to them. The end result is this, brothers and sisters. The obedient servants of Allah are the ones who will be made, an exception will be made for. If you are an obedient servant of Allah, rest assured that you will be immune to the terror of that day. But I've sinned in my life. Are you saying I have to be ma'soom? No, I'm not saying we have to be ma'soom. Did you know that even when we disobey Allah, it's wajib for us to do tawbah right away? Repent. So that means even if I've sinned, if I repent and come back, that's part of taqwa. That's part of obedience. So we're still good. We don't want to lose hope. Only ma'sumin. No. It's not only ma'sumin. It's more than that. And then we have hadith for it as well. That this hasana is the wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt. Well, okay, wilayah. We all love Imam Hussein. We love Imam Ali alayhi salam. Is that enough? No. In Usul al-Kafi, we have explicit hadith that our Shia are not the ones who disobey us. Our Shia are the ones who obey us. In other words, those who have our wilayah are the ones who obey us. Obedience, that's it. Taqwa, that's it. Wajib haram, let's learn it and apply it. But that's not all. They will be immune from the terror, and even more than that. We have another verse that says, everyone in the heavens and earth will die on that day. Now sometimes people will not be terrified, but I mean, like, come on, like, so, like, let's just say there's two people here you want to execute. One of them is terrified that he's going to be executed. One of them is not terrified. At the end of the day, when you shoot both of them in the head, both of them are going to die, right? Just because you're not afraid of it doesn't mean it's not going to break your arm or leg, or it's not going to kill you, right? So here, maybe it's saying that, all right, we won't be terrified, but eventually when the trumpet is blown into, we're going to die. We have another verse that says that's not even the case. SubhanAllah. We thought there was a time that Allah will look around after everyone's life has been taken. He'll look around, he says, all right, everyone's gone. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكِ الْيَوْمِ Who's the boss now? Who was the all-powerful now? We thought that that was how it is, but apparently there's even exception when it comes to those who die. They won't even be affected by the trumpet of the angel of death. And the trumpet, Surah Zumar, verse 68, these are secrets, I shouldn't be giving these out, but yeah, there's a way out. And the trumpet will be blown, and whoever is in the heavens will swoon and die, and whoever is on the earth will die, except whomever Allah wishes. But Allah doesn't open it up. He leaves it for Allah Tawtabai to open it up. Then it will be blown a second time. Behold, they will rise up looking on. From the end of this verse, they will rise looking up. Allah Tawtabai takes this part of the verse. That means those who die will be risen. Those who die will be made present. And then he goes and finds another verse in the Quran that talks about which people will not be risen, will not be brought back to life because they were already alive. Anyway, brothers and sisters, to cut it short, the only way out to not be terrified, to evade the terror of that day, the only way to make sure that you're not one of those who dies, and when the party is going on with Allah, when He's looking around and saying, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكِ, He'll be addressing you too. The only way is obedience of Allah. That's the only way out. Now can we understand why Allah says, even if you are in the best part of the world, if your dunya is being messed up, if your deen is being messed up, it's wajib for you to leave if that's the only way out. So do we want to leave, brothers and sisters? No, we don't want to leave. So let's at least fix our deen here so that we have this dunya, the good stuff in this dunya, and we have all of these benefits of the akhirah. Inshallah, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.